You are listening to Winning with Mainstay. The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Mainstay Financial Services, with host Bob Burgie.
I am well. How are you, Jenna? Okay, good. You're well. Okay, good, good. Yeah, well, I missed you. Okay. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, we did this about three or four months ago, and the topic is real estate for our listeners. And it was so well received, we decided to do this again. Maybe we'll do it quarterly, Jenna, but it's certainly near and dear to our hearts and has a lot to do with our topic that we talk about, money, right? All right, so today I have with me Amanda and Gene Hurd. They represent the Hurd team. The Hurd team is a husband and wife team, and they have 12 real estate professionals here in the Pensacola area. They actually cover the market from Perdido to Panama City, and they have year-to-date sales in excess of $50 million. They have also been named by VIP Magazine 3 years running the best real estate team in the area. So, Gene and Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
All right. So, again, real estate, where do we begin?
That's a good question, Gene. So I think that buying and selling a home in this market is probably a really good topic to start on, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree, Bob. That's what I think we're going to find most people attempting to do right now, more buyers right now than sellers.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and this is something that I always wonder about. More buyers than sellers. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about supply and demand. That means to me more demand than supply. But the way I see everything being built, you know, developers, contractors, everybody's so busy. If things keep going the way they are, when does the supply catch up with the demand?
Well, the one thing they don't make more of, Bob, is land.
Right. Right.
When the land runs out, the builds run out. We love the builders.
Yeah.
Inventory's great. Buyers need inventory, and people love a new home.
Yeah.
You know, it says a lot, right?
They want something new and shiny.
Yeah. The new construction inventory is, there is a lot of that going on right now. But as far as like Pensacola Beach, waterfront property, and things of that sort, we're having to hunt and actually go out and find properties for some of our buyers because it's just not available.
Right. Right. Now, would you say you all represent, in most instances, the seller, the buyer? How does that work?
Well, we do both.
You do both.
But
okay.
Primarily, I think, so our team mm-hmm. is predominantly buyer's agents.
Okay.
Amanda and I and one other of our agents do a good bit of listing.
Okay.
And we focus on the listings for the team.
Right. Right. Okay. And how is that inventory, not only in your building, but in this market that we're all in?
It's definitely picking up.
Okay.
People are starting to realize that it's a good time to sell.
Okay.
It's actually a great time to sell. As long as interest rates remain low, that increases the bracket of buyers that are available to buy in a certain price point, right?
Right.
So this gives sellers more opportunity to have a volume of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're looking for. Every seller hopes for a little competition.
Yeah.
Right? So
that's
what creates this scenario is more opportune buyers based on a price point.
Yeah. What are the best, the music to my ears as a seller would be, we have multiple offers. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to, what is it, highest and best, or what is it? What
best and final offer.
Best and final offer. Yeah, yeah, I'm thinking of highest and best use. Okay. But another real estate
which is
term,
important.
Right? Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're seeing. You know, we've got people that are looking at these interest rates, and according to Freddie Mac, the interest rate for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage averaged 2.87% in July of this year.
Wow.
So that's down from 3.02 average during the same month a year earlier.
Okay.
So it's just when you're looking at interest rates under 3%,
yeah,
you got to buy something.
And is 15-year in that neighborhood of 2.25 to 2.5 or?
We have seen a few lenders do like a 15-year, actually a 15-year ARM.
Okay.
For yes.
No kidding.
The low twos.
Wow.
And you know, sometimes people get scared of the word ARM, but 15 years, especially if you're buying an investment property, you should be able to pay that property out
right
before that comes available.
Right. And, you know, let's face it, low interest rates, they don't bring the price down.
Right.
But no, they make the property more affordable for the purchaser.
Exactly.
Slash lender.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or, excuse me, borrower. But anyway, you know, that's a great thing. That's one of the things we have in our favor right now. It may be, it's not going away. They're not going to, you know, interest rates aren't going to go up, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to go up overnight in any profound way. But I think from here, we can count on them going up.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to down.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that, which makes it harder for, you know, certain buyers to maybe purchase the house that they're looking at. If the interest rates go up, then their that makes their DTI and everything just kind of mess the whole transaction up.
Right.
So now being a good time to buy as far as interest rates go is, it definitely is.
But you know, Amanda, we've been saying that for what, 5 years now? With interest rates.
I mean, I've definitely been saying it for two, like the past 2 years. They've been amazing.
Yeah. I went to a seminar, and of course this is going to be difficult to articulate, but it had three graphs, and it showed interest rates over the last 5 years. There was a flat line, there was an incline, and there was a decline. You know, I think our listeners can understand what I'm saying, and so they asked the room, what have interest rates done? Mm-hmm. And it's not the decline, it's they've been flat
right.
for the last 5 years.
They have.
Yeah.
So they've been low, they've remained low.
Pretty stable.
But for how much longer, we just don't know.
Right.
For our listeners, please give us a call if you have any questions for Gene and Amanda. They're the Herd team here locally, and they're a plethora of real estate knowledge. And the number here is 850-437-1620. All right. We've talked about interest rates. We've talked about it being a seller's market. What are some of the things that buyers should be looking for in this market?
You know,
besides
I always say
value.
We always strongly suggest the buyers, if they reach out to a good agent, preferably us. And sorry, Bob had to get that in.
That's what we're here for.
But, you know, the first thing we're going to start them with is getting them pre-approved. A good, strong pre-approval. We will offer them several lenders to call. These lenders we obviously have relationships with. And once they understand the concept, you know, and we understand the loan package they'll be using, then we can start looking for the right place for them. But not knowing this, this is the common problem amongst buyers in today's market, and I think it's been true over many, many years, where buyers get a little anxious. They start, hey, we're just going to catch a couple open houses, maybe we'll just see, but they don't really know that they can't technically buy that house. It's, you know, they
right.
need to know.
Right.
They need to actually know. Plus, in the industry, as agents, we like to represent what we call buyers, and until you have a pre-approval, you're not a buyer.
Right, right. So, is a lot of this due to the youthfulness of some of these buyers?
Well, I think it's I think there's a lot of things. I mean, you know, they have the world at their fingertips. We call it a phone, but we all know the difference. It's not just a phone anymore. So in 2 seconds, they're like, look at this. It just popped up on this site. man, I know we can afford that. Let's go look at it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so many things that factor into a good pre-approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you have to have the foundation of a good pre-approval to know where you're going.
Yeah.
And know what you can and cannot buy.
And do you think a lot of the, you know, let's face it, this is a seller's market. Do you think a lot of the market value, the prices being driven up in the way they have, is due to the low interest rates and the a great economy and the ability of these younger people that have no experience buying a home and don't have any benchmarking? You know, they're
right.
In relative terms, they don't know what that property was worth 10 years
right.
ago,
right.
Right?
right?
But, you know, it is what it is, and hey, I'm paying X in rent. I can pay this in a mortgage
right.
and own this home that's $250,000, even though it was $100,000
right.
5 years ago, right?
Right. And honestly, Bob, when you're talking about renting, you know, we've had some buyers come to our agents talking about renting a property, and sometimes you have to have a higher credit score to rent a property
mm-hmm.
than to buy a property.
Yeah.
So it really kind of just depends on you know, the buyer and the agent that they choose and the relationship that they build.
Yeah.
It really is a relationship from day one to after closing.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's not just going and filling out an application, producing a pay stub and the phone number of your last landlord.
Right.
And you're in the rental
right.
property.
Right. No.
There's
right.
a little more to it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, credit checks. There's everything.
There is.
And,
yeah.
you know, the ability to pay and a history of holding yourself accountable to paying is huge, and mm-hmm. it should be with any landlord.
Mm-hmm. Well, and COVID's revved that up a little bit, and as we all know, those of us that own rentals, we're a little nervous because of the obvious. I mean, you know, if you've got a renter in there and he's got COVID and he's not working, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. So, The rental market, I think, has changed even more due to the COVID and the COVID restrictions and things of that nature. So as someone that's got a rental, of course you want to be a little tougher. You want to, you know, be a little stricter finding that right renter and not just saying, hey, I need to get someone in my house.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and take this little lower credit score, a little, you know, the past being subject to a couple little odds and ends. We'll look over that. They were going through a hardship. You can't do that anymore.
Right.
You got to be a little stricter, you know.
Absolutely.
And the times are tough.
Absolutely.
In the rental market.
So this is a very unfair question, but I want to ask it. I want to ask it fairly early in the show, so that you can think about it, and perhaps we can come back to it. What do you see happening with real estate prices, the market, over the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, Bob, according to Florida real estate chief economist Brad O'Connor, the data revealed signs that the state's housing market is heading on a steady path toward normalcy.
Okay.
So we really feel like, you know, the next few years, obviously we don't know what's going to happen in our world today, but we really feel like over the next few years we're going to start to see it, you know, maybe level out a little bit, interest rates kind of level out a little bit, not go up to 8 or 9% or
right.
something of that sort. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of my answer to that question. What about you?
Well, so when the market levels out a little bit, the way we'll know that is the obvious. We'll be looking at the absorption rate, right, which is the amount of volume you have on the market and how quickly it's getting bought.
Sure.
Right? So, so when you base it on that, if we should see, which some people seem to feel that we might, now that the forbearance laws are ending, mm-hmm. we may see some more listings come on the market, whether it was somebody that was avoiding their mortgage payments and now is in a situation where they can't catch up and they're thinking, I might get out of this a little easier by just selling my home. I was thinking of doing that anyway. Why not do it? And then we'll move on. We may see inventory come to the market. That inventory will help level things out and create more, give buyers more of an opportunity, not so much that this can be a better deal, but they're less likely to have to give up everything
exactly.
in the transaction, and we'll start seeing the bodies of the transaction become equal, maybe right. not more favorable to one or the other, because that's what we hope as agents, that we end up with a win-win and not someone winning in the transaction. We are not looking for a transaction where the seller at the end says, man, you know, I got everything I wanted. I got the price I wanted. I didn't have to do repairs. I didn't allow them to appraise the property. I'm forced them into my price point. That's not the market we're interested in. We're glad to see that recent that just happened pass.
That is the market we have been in.
We did see that market.
Yeah.
And it was very hard.
And I want to come back to that. I know we have a listener on the line, and okay. we want to get to our listener. Again, please call us at 850-437-1620. But right now we're going to Ann in Gulf Breeze. Ann, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question is actually very similar to the one that Bob just asked. And that is, I've seen a substantial increase in value of my home in the last year, year and a half. And I'm just hoping that's not a false spike. What are the chances that prices are going to come back down as things do level off?
All right. Gene?
Yes, sir.
Amanda, who's going to handle this? You're on a roll, Gene.
Let's see who's more fit.
Yeah. Amanda.
I don't know.
Not
we'll
fitness.
See.
Okay. Yeah.
Did I ask a forbidden question?
No. I mean, it's a great question. I don't know if, I don't have to answer it. So, you know what? I don't have to answer it. That's why I've got the real estate professionals here. But, you know, weigh in on Ann's question.
Okay.
Hey, Ann, can you repeat the question and maybe speak a little louder? Both Gene and Amanda are saying they couldn't hear it.
Okay. As I have seen the value of my home increase substantially over the last year and a half. And of course, I'm not in a position where I want to sell right now.
Okay.
And take advantage of that increase. What are the chances that the pricing is, or the values are going to drop?
Okay.
Back to where it was.
Okay. And that's a question we've kind of danced around. I'm going to, neither Gene or Amanda can hear the question from the caller. So I'm going to repeat your question. Anna's purchased a home recently. It has, well, I would say in the last couple of years, it has appreciated in value wildly. And she's asking, when can she expect this period of normalcy or perhaps even decline to ensue?
So is her question kind of like, should she go ahead and act on the
I think she's concerned about the amount of appreciation she's had, mm-hmm. and if this is going to hold up or if now is the time to cash out.
I mean, we would obviously say now is the time because we can't predict tomorrow.
Right.
And it's a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, we are still getting multiple offers. We are still having some sellers say, you know what? I don't care if it appraises, you're going to buy it anyway.
Yeah.
So my answer to that question is, with everything that is going on in the world, now is probably the best time.
Right.
You know, we typically will slow down a little bit the very, very first of the year and then pick back up in March.
So it doesn't slow down during the holidays?
We don't. I mean, some real estate agents will tell you that they do, but we really don't because we still have a lot of people, a lot of investors and people like that, that want to buy before December 31st. They've got to spend some money.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
I would think residential real estate would slow down a little bit in terms of transactions, November and December.
Well, think about this on the flip side of that.
Okay.
So it's an incredibly emotional time of year. Right, we're in the emotional the holidays when families come into town. What happens, and you've probably experienced this, you're sitting at the table, whether it's Thanksgiving or hey, it could even be Halloween, and you had some friends come into town, and you're like, hey, y'all will we'll take you around with the kids and you'll get to see some things. How many times has it happened even to you where someone says, man, you know, I love this place.
Yeah.
And I wish that I could live, or if it's a relative, or if it's a kid home from college because of the holidays, you start thinking about, you know, hey, you're about to graduate. You need to be looking at a house. I would, as a parent, I'm thinking, look down the street, right? Because I want you close to me.
Right.
So that happens a lot. And you'd be surprised how many people act on it. They start wanting to see how, like, hey, I want to go out. My family's in town from, you know, upstate, and we want to look at properties. And it's such an emotional, real estate's based on emotion.
Yeah.
It's based on emotion. We're the logic, but the buyer and sellers have all the emotion.
And let's say you go, you know, let's say you're visiting your folks. Amen. And maybe you're leaving town. You're going up north.
Right.
You and I are both from up north. And you're just having a heartfelt conversation with, I don't know, parents or other people, and you know, hey, this is too much house, we're empty nesters.
Amen.
Maybe it's time to sell.
Whether
you're moving to Florida or anywhere else, you need to be where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
and it's really important. I can't imagine there being a more important outlay in your life than
your
where
home.
You're choosing to live, your home.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But, you know, Ann, thank you for the question, and I hope I framed it correctly. Again, Gina and Amanda weren't able to hear it, but I hope you got the answer you wanted. It's a robust market. It is certainly a seller's market, not meaning that there aren't a lot of things that weigh in favor of the buyer, like interest rates, okay, like a healthy economy where there's, you know, very low unemployment. Gene, we started to talk about the market and inventory, and I think you mentioned the forbearance, okay?
Yes.
Governor DeSantis's eviction moratorium, things like that.
Correct.
So with not a lot of protection for landlords,
mm-hmm.
or not a lot of remedies for landlords or yet for homeowners who lost a job, went on unemployment, mm-hmm. and aren't back in the workforce now, don't you think there's going to be a little bit of a ripple effect and maybe some more inventory because of that? Maybe not this year, but perhaps next?
I think the only answer for that is yes, because there's just, I mean, the obvious is true. I mean, there's no way around it, right? And there are a lot of people out there struggling, and we feel for them,
mm-hmm.
because we know, I've experienced a little bit of the COVID effects ourselves and what it's done for us in our workplace and how challenging it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get what people are going through. And to answer that question, there's just no way around it.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
Do we think that it's going to be enough to somewhat level the market out? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to give us the amount of volume in the market to create a rate of absorption that would lean the market back over to the buyer. I do not see that.
You're right.
I don't see it, period.
But right. With the volume of buyers and the disparity between the number of buyers or ratio of buyers to sellers, you know, it's our hope and everyone's hope, including the seller, that those properties get snapped up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe there are enough buyers out there and not enough inventory that brings us back to some sort of equilibrium.
Right.
Well, and we're so tremendously blessed to be encircled by so much military.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We love the military.
Yeah.
And they come and they need homes.
They keep coming and they keep leaving.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So they and
high
and
turnover
they,
market.
Yes.
Yeah. And it
interesting.
Helps. And some of them hang on to the
and we're surrounded
homes.
By that.
You know, and put them into the rental market. Some of them do.
That's why there's so many real estate agents here. So much buying and selling.
Did we just give away a secret?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
With that being said.
Whoops.
No, it's all coming together now.
With that being said, we do have multiple agents on our team that specialize in military.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, that was a light bulb moment. Look, don't tell me. You're with me.
Yeah, but I also meet a lot of military families who can.
Oh, you already knew that.
They do.
Okay.
And they never want to leave.
They don't want to leave.
Yes.
They rent out their
hey.
To
and come they
back.
Back.
Yes, yeah, yes. So. Mm-hmm. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said, I spent 2 years here 30 years ago and I came 20. Back, always loved it. Yeah. Okay, we're taking a news break, correct, Jenna?
The number of people hospitalized locally for COVID continues falling. Latest details after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. President Biden warns the world stands at an inflection point.
The dawning of what must be a decisive decade for our world. A decade that will quite literally determine our futures.
Laying out threats like climate change and the pandemic.
In his first speech before the United Nations General Assembly, President Biden saying that the U.S. remains committed to pursuing new rules of global trade and that our country is ready to retake a seat at the U.N. Human Rights Council next year, which the U.S. quit under former President Donald Trump.
Fox's Jeff Manasso, and new data out from Johnson & Johnson trials shows a booster shot of its COVID-19 vaccine provides 94% protection and raises immunity even more. The company says it'll submit all the data to the FDA. America's listening to Fox News.
At News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 84, partly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. Number of COVID cases requiring hospitalization in Pensacola continues a steady decline across the big three health networks in the area, now 184 people hospitalized. That's a drop of about 40 cases in just 4 days, but...
Again, what I've said clearly is I would not let your guard down because this thing will come back.
That's Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Escambia County's recorded 818 deaths thus far since the pandemic began. 418 in Santa Rosa County. Right on schedule, first day of fall is tomorrow. A strong cold front set to bring us more fall-like temperatures. Lows tomorrow night could dip into the upper 50s. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Rain chance has dropped off today. A slight chance of showers overall, about a 30% chance that you'll be picking up the rain. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies, high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, 20% chance of a stray shower, mostly cloudy skies, low near 72. From the First Morning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
84 in Pensacola and Milton, 85 in Gulf Breeze at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. COVID-19 booster shots for people 65 and older are a step closer to reality. Vaccine advisors to the FDA today voted unanimously to recommend emergency use authorization of a booster dose of Pfizer's vaccine 6 months after full vaccination in people 65 and older and those at high risk of severe COVID-19. U.S. stocks closed out a volatile week with a down day, with tech shares leading the decline. The S&P 500 eased 40 points, the Dow Industrials fell 166, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite slid 138. U.S. crude oil futures also declined. The ongoing semiconductor shortage has prompted yet another production halt in the auto industry. Stellantis NV confirmed today that production of the popular Jeep Grand Cherokee SUV will be idled next week at the company's plant in Detroit. In addition, the automaker will extend downtime for the Jeep Cherokee crossover in Belvidere, Illinois, for another 2 weeks because of the microchip shortage. That's Your Money Now.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Did you know the impact video has on the mind of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That's 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of the day is spent watching video, what is your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect the ability to appear where they're watching this content? If it does not yet, it will soon. Hey, it's Callie Skelly, Digital Campaign Success Manager at ADX Digital. And we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and so much more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good song. That's a good song, Jenna. Good choice. No kidding. The band is named Real Estate. I'll be darned. Okay. Yeah, it's good. It's a it's a toe tapper.
Thank you.
Right.
I'm gonna quickly jump on that band wagon.
Oh, very good. Very good, Gene.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm such a dad.
All I've got to say is poor Amanda, right? All right. Hey, talking everything real estate today. We're here with Gene and Amanda Hurd from the Hurd team here in the Pensacola area. And Amanda is going to share with us some local real estate statistics, correct? Local.
Correct, yes.
All right. So, is this Escambia, Santa Rosa County?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Escambia County first. So from January 1st of this year to yesterday, basically the quantity sold was 5,266, so 5,266. A year ago, that number was 4,621, so we've got a 645 increase there, which is a 14% change, and that's in Escambia County.
Through this time last year, it was in the fours?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Gotcha.
So for the average sale in Escambia County, that's going to be about $302,000. A year ago, it was $261,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and
my goodness.
And that's an average of Escambia
County. That's up
15%? Yeah, 16% actually.
Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yep. And then for Santa Rosa County, we have the current period, same time frame, January 1st, 21, through yesterday, was 3161 sold. And then a year ago, that number was 2984. So that's a 6% in Santa Rosa County increase. The average price for Santa Rosa County is $345,000 versus $281,000 the year before.
Increase of what percent?
The average sale.
Yeah.
Oh, the 23%.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Santa Rosa County is still crushing it.
So that's a quick answer to Ann's question.
Yeah.
Right? Don't miss this bubble. Miss this opportunity.
I received a piece of advice years ago, and I always think about this as a prospective seller, okay? And the advice was this: if you can sell your property for more than you would ever pay for it, okay? That's sort of a sign that maybe you should do that,
right?
You know? Also, I think that ties in with more than you think you could ever get for it. You don't have a crystal ball,
right?
But certainly a seller's market. I think we've established that. So when does this...
it's not a bad time to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, when does this incline level out? Because right now it hasn't,
right,
is what you're saying.
Right.
Gee, I thought, you know, okay, that's mind-boggling.
Do you think people are going to make too hasty of decisions, though, with it being a seller's market? Have you seen that?
I feel like previously, with COVID and with elections and things like that, there were probably some hasty decisions made earlier in the year, don't you think? But I don't think that anyone was disappointed with their decision because they all capitalized from it. You know, they made money. So on a seller's standpoint, from a buyer's standpoint, they got an amazing interest rate if they were financing. Now, if you're paying cash, you know, they always say cash is king.
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily right now. You know, we're getting multiple offers
because
where the cash offer...
Yeah.
Yes, the cash offer doesn't win.
Hey, it's all cash
it's
to
all
the
cash
seller.
In the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the key ingredient.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, one of the things, I saw a piece on this and it makes sense. Let's see. COVID hits. A lot of people working from home. All these people that say, you know, I have too much space here at home are all of a sudden saying, well, now I'm working from home. I need my own space, and perhaps I don't need to downsize because now I need my office space, my private space, or maybe a space on this side of the house because everybody else is over on the other side, or maybe for a couple, two offices, right? So
or
has
for
that
the kids if they're homeschooling now.
Oh gosh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So this selling the big house that we've grown out of has maybe turned around on some folks, right?
Yeah.
And they're happy to stay where they are.
Yeah. And then people that need to upsize because they need that home office now are selling and purchasing. But we've also experienced a lot of people from other states, California, things like that, that actually came here and they're like, well, we're going to buy an investment property. Mm-hmm. So they start looking, and we've actually had them say, forget it.
Right.
Our kids have been out of school for so long, wherever we're from.
Yeah.
This is not going to be an investment property. We're going to live here, put our kids back in school, and we love Florida.
Yes.
So
okay.
We're seeing that a lot.
Next, we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And I forget the number at this moment, but I was reading for a while and staying up to date on, because I'm from New Jersey. Oh. And so my family, I still have family in Michigan and New Jersey, and they are kind of still pretty much, you know, hunkered down for the most part.
Yeah.
Their life has completely changed in the past 18 months. But I've seen numbers over like 40,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Moved to Florida, not to obviously Pensacola, look like sardines in a can, but you have a huge influx of people moving to Florida because we are wide open in a pretty free state. You're very lucky and blessed to live here.
We are.
Yeah.
But that's impacting too, people being able to sell their homes.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. I'm seeing a lot of that. I'd never before a month ago, I never heard that phrase just selling the state of Florida, you know, the land of the free, the last free state, and things like that. And we're starting to see that. And I, in so many ways, it is.
Well, when the start of COVID, I don't know if y'all remember, but there was something, and this is hearsay, so don't bank on this. But you know, they were saying, well, it's the sand and the seed that could be the cure. And I was like, the sun, the sand, the sea, we've got it all. Come on down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Move on down.
Vitamin D, the sunlight.
It wasn't accurate, but it seemed like it could be, because I'll tell you what we saw, whether they were supposed to come or not, and I might be telling on a few, but we did see an influx of stays. There was people that were from other states coming here. They couldn't come in a short term, so they stayed for 4 to 6 months. But why not be in one of the best places we feel on earth, with our white, beautiful white sand and the most amazing Gulf of Mexico, when you got to be locked down?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not have those amazing views if you can?
Right. And for those of us, or for those that are seeking value, you move down here, you have no state income tax. Mm-hmm. It's still, at least in the panhandle, relatively cheap.
Yep.
And that's...
Don't call us cheap, Bob.
I'm talking about myself. So if this market were dependent on me and my contemporaries, it wouldn't be driving up like this. So it is young people. It is a robust economy, and it is a lot of people from other places that, you know, in relative terms, they're looking at our real estate prices and wherever they've moved from, California, the Northeast, New England, New York City, Colorado even, you know.
We see a lot of Colorado.
There, this is like, oh my gosh, your real estate is so cheap, and here, you know, we're looking at it going crazy. What? 2 years in a row, you know.
Well, Bob, I've had people start in South Florida, and they wind up coming up to, you know, the panhandle, and they're like, we can buy two here for the price of one.
Right.
Even though it's a, you know, quote, seller's market, they still can buy two here.
Yeah.
So we kind of are a little secret. It's getting out. The secret's getting out. But we kind of are a little secret. We've got some of the prettiest sand and,
you know,
water. And
this... you know, this hour with you all is so exciting for me, because I really do drink this up. And, you know, some of the things I've learned, you know, as I pointed out, you know, mm-hmm. the turnover with the military and the people coming in and out of here, the people that come back that were here 30 years ago but always loved this place, and they come back, and a lot of them up until, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago, you know, nothing's really changed,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Well, now it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
Like you mentioned, it isn't as expensive as, like, if you think of Charleston, mm-hmm. a town on the water, mm-hmm. within driving distance to beaches, mm-hmm. Or Miami, on mm-hmm. the water, more city life, right? But you have here where we have a downtown area, we have areas with pockets of culture and places to eat and, mm-hmm. and drink and enjoy your life or take
right.
your kids. Our schools are starting to improve
yeah.
here. I think that's because of our citizens. And so there is a huge draw to Kemp's Peninsula where you can enjoy our beautiful downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And then drive to the beach within 10 minutes of our downtown.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And you didn't even say it, but traffic. Oh, my gosh, we don't have it.
Right.
And,
we don't.
And, I mean, I know we had some traffic issues, okay,
yeah,
or getting
I
around
mean,
issues.
A lot
but
construction.
Yeah.
It
We're
is.
Trying to expand to make
yeah.
room for all
yeah.
of
right.
the drivers.
Right.
Right.
And it's been growing and growing. But, yeah, coming from, you know, the metropolitan area outside of New York City, there's no traffic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
Atlanta. Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Right.
So, real quickly, I want to remind our listeners, you can call in at 850-437-1620. We're talking today with Amanda and Gene Hurd of the Hurd Team, real estate professionals here in the Pensacola area. All right.
So we do have a question.
Okay. Love it.
That's a good question. Along the Gulf Coast. So we're seeing a lot of areas expand. Navarre. Navarre is expanding rapidly. The Pace and Milton area, so much new construction going up around there. Cantonment. Obviously, you know, downtown has spread to the point where it's just busting out at the seams. And downtown, I think, is going just to be bigger, you know, that area is going to be bigger.
It's going to start like almost like leading out of the
right, right. I mean,
we don't
you can
have
only
a choice.
You can only
yeah.
go up so far,
there's
right?
There's no choice. So, yeah, you can only go up so high. So
yeah, so we're
yeah,
seeing just you know tons of new construction down there, tons of the younger generations wanting to buy downtown, not just for personal use but for vacation rental use as well. So I would say, as far as that question goes, those areas,
yeah.
in my opinion, are growing rapidly.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, I definitely agree on Navarre. Navarre is just blowing out improportionately. I mean, it's amazing, but there's good reason behind that. I mean, they do have a lot of military.
Right.
The military loves Navarre Beach is amazing. I mean, it really is incredible. It's a great family-oriented beach. And then it's just a hop, skip, and a jump down to Pensacola Beach if you want to have a little nightlife.
Yeah.
Because Navarre is very family-oriented, and there's not a whole, you know, you've got a couple, but not as much. But we are really seeing a huge growth in Navarre. And then Pace, obviously there's land, and anywhere there's land, you're going to have the builders develop the land. And buyers are buying it because Pace is beautiful. Pace is a great school system, just as Navarre is. But Guppies, I mean, there's nothing Guppies can do, right? I mean, it's still a very sought-after location, but there's no land there, so there's not going to be
any.
Not
a whole lot of land left.
Yeah. The only thing you're seeing happen there is, you know, either remodels or tear down and rebuild is what we're seeing for the renewal of Guppies, you know, because everything
especially
goes through
city.
Those stages, right?
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really, I mean, and that's good to know. One of the things I hope for, in my opinion, for Navarre is that they also grow business-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Amenities there.
They are.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the contributing factors to the minor traffic that we have in and out of Pensacola is that people in Navarre have to come to Pensacola
mm-hmm.
for the bigger stores
yeah.
that
yeah.
they need. But that's when you have a growing community, that's a given
right.
when it comes to it. Hey, I do have another question coming in. I guess this has to do with from the time that you start looking to closing or at least make an offer, accept an offer and close? What is the average time that you are seeing a buyer and seller?
From the time we have an accepted offer and we're actually under contract, depending on whether, if they're paying cash, then we can typically close within 3 to 4 weeks. And that's with cash. If they are getting a loan, depending on the, you know, whether it's conventional, FHA, VA, things like that, we have, where we used to close all these in 30 days very easily, we have kind of started doing 45 to 60 days now. And that really has nothing to do with anything except for how busy everyone is. You know, appraisers getting out there, surveyors getting out there. It's all of these pieces to the puzzle have to align. So 45 to 60 days is typically what we're telling people right now.
Right. Amanda, take us through the, sort of a list of things from the time you have your offer accepted. Okay. What are the things you line up and knock down over the next, between then and closing? First, obviously you talked about securing a mortgage, but talk about the other things like inspection.
And so we're talking about from a buyer standpoint. First of all, there's a few things that we like to always tell buyers from day one. Don't change jobs. Don't increase your debt. Don't apply for new credit cards.
Don't get a divorce.
Don't get a divorce.
Well.
Don't move money around unless, your financial or your lender, the institution has told you to do that. Don't skip any payments. Don't make any late payments.
Now, are you talking about don't even replace your car? Don't even buy it? Okay.
No,
okay.
No.
Just you're in a holding pattern.
You're in a holding pattern because what can happen is the lender can look at your credit again after you've already applied. They can do that all the way up until the very end if they want to. If you go buy a new car and that hit your credit score,
right,
and then that knocked you under where you were, you're talking about a different interest rate. You're talking about maybe even not being able to buy that house now. So it's super important that you walk a straight line while you are under contract all the way to closing. Buy that new car 2 weeks later.
No kidding. Don't even apply for another credit card.
You should not.
Okay.
And if you
That's
have
great.
To do any of these things, you should run it by your lender first.
Okay.
And make sure that they are okay with it. So we always like to tell people, from day one, don't do this if you really want this house.
Okay.
As far as the process goes, once we're under contract, what happens, we have a transaction coordinating team that will pick up and literally walk the buyer and the seller through every single step of the process, like holding their hand.
Okay.
So we get our earnest money to the title company.
Right.
We order inspections. Then we go through our inspections with the buyer and the seller, depending on who we're representing. During that time, we decide, do we want to ask for repairs? Did something come up on this inspection that's just not worth buying the house now? Or are we going to renegotiate? Things of that sort.
Okay.
Once we get past that inspection period, then we have appraisal period, things like that. And then it kind of just fizzles out and we end up closing. Now, there's a lot of little things that go on behind the scene that the buyer and the seller never even know. We just deal with, in-house.
Right.
But as long as they do everything their lender has told them to do and everything we tell them to do, then normally it's a pretty smooth selling process to the end.
Interesting. So you're dealing with, not only the purchaser or seller,
mm-hmm.
you're dealing with the lender, inspector, contractors, appraiser, title company.
Title.
Gosh. So
insurance companies.
Insurance. Yes.
You name it. Wetland studies. If it's. This is Florida. We have wetlands. We have water. We're surrounded by all this stuff. So it's just extremely important that you get an agent you're comfortable with and knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, for a lot of people, they don't do this often,
mm-mm.
My wife has lived in two houses in her life, and she, hasn't gone through a lot of, of transactions.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really, really important to have the right people, the right team around you to make sure that you're able to, that you're able to get the deal done.
Agreed.
And get inside the home.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. I think real quick, Bob, that's another reason why we think that the first call has to be the right agent. Because when you make that call, because like we talked about before, that they start with the buyer approval, the loan approval. But you if they want to make the call to the agent, because there's so much more to the transaction, and the agent will help guide them through. When we take somebody, there's times when we get a buyer, they're not approved. And they look at us, they're like, you know, we thought for sure we was going to be able to do this. We said, look, don't worry. We're going to make it happen. It's just not today.
Right.
But you're still a buyer. What we're going to do is we're going to work with you, and we're going to work with a lender, and we're going to make you a buyer in a set amount of time while we monitor the market and keep watching things you like.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might be 30 days, sometimes 60, and next thing you know, we're out shopping with this person, and hey, guess what? We're real excited because it's official. They're a buyer. They just had a little ding or something that the lender says, hey, we need to go back. Let's do this. Maybe we write this letter. Whatever we got to do, the lender guides them through us, helping them, and then we then coach them the whole time. Now, look, guys, we got you through that. Don't make the mistake. Don't go buy the furniture for your new house and set up an account over here at Rooms to Go or whatever. Don't go down and buy the wife a new car, even if hers puts out. Just make it work until we get you through this purchase.
Right.
Then, when you're in that beautiful new home, then you're, you know, you can talk about what you got to do next.
Yeah.
But you have to stay focused. And we're the people keeping you focused. We're the logic. They're the emotion.
Yeah.
Right.
We keep them focused. That's why you marry up with a really good agent.
Right. And most people are paying something for where they're living, you know, whether it's rent, a mortgage,
right.
and everything else that comes with it. So, yeah, if you can.
So, Gene, you really, like, and Amanda, you really are trying to teach almost like this new way of thinking when it comes to buying your home. So stop dreaming and looking at the apps and that first. If you're really considering looking at and buying a home, go have that agent that knows what they're doing, and then get pre-approval.
Right.
First.
Well,
unless you know you have X amount of cash, then that's totally different.
Yeah.
But if you don't, and for, you know, for the most part, especially like first-time home buyers and things like that, they're going to have to get a loan.
So when you are with a first-time home buyer and you're looking for homes, do you tell them to go out and get a pre-approval letter?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I tell them, obviously, to, you know, if they've got somebody that they're working with, definitely talk to them. If they have a close relationship with their bank, talk to them.
Sure.
But then we also refer them three of our local lenders we have really good relationships with.
Okay.
What people don't understand is real estate agents don't work 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. We work 8 days a week, and we need lenders that will answer their phone after 5 o'clock to get these pre-approvals. When we're in a multiple offer situation, if you don't have that pre-approval in your hand, you might not get the house.
Very interesting.
Yeah, we've got about a minute left. This has been like chock full of real estate.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and the information, and a lot of our listeners, you know, we talk every week about, what do we talk about, Jenna? We talk about investments and retirement accounts and everything. So this is such, you know, it is a departure, but it's so important. It ties right in with wealth management.
Absolutely.
Because more often than not, when we sit down with folks, their biggest asset, and let's face it, their most important asset, is their home or the real estate they own.
Amen.
And it's such a big decision, and guess what? You're pretty much responsible for it,
right.
Not your investment advisor.
Right.
So anyway, thank you for coming on the show. Again, today we've had Gene and Amanda Hurd from the Hurd team, real estate professionals here in Pensacola. They cover from Panama City to Perdido Key, and we are delighted to have you here today. Please join us again.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you, listeners. Have a great week.
Thank you.